Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
How's it going, John?
Man, it's going really good.
Talk to us, man.
Yes, I'm enjoying getting a chance to speak to all of our sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
Want to remind you about Old Time Remedies over on in Pensacola. Great place for holistic cures. You name it, they have it there. They have over, I think, 500 herbs on the shelf. So go pick one. But I'm having a really great time meeting all these wonderful sponsors and all the different things that they're doing for the community. And standing with VFN TV and standing with you, our audience. Pretty awesome.
Think about how quickly we are just to be able to just, you know, get some synthetic pill and like maybe this will work.
Yeah.
And they're helping us go back to natural cures. I mean, if you look at it, if you go back, it comes down to bark, leaves, and plants, you know.
Yeah.
And we think that since we created something synthetically, that's all there ever was. But the truth, that is medicine coming from that. And so we appreciate them and all of our other sponsors that stand with us right there. They are actually in the Pensacola area off 9 Mile Road, out there close to the Ellison Industrial Park area, 9 Mile Road, Copter, and all those areas.
Yep.
Well, my goodness, today we are, if you missed our earlier program, you've got to be able to catch them all, but you want to be able to catch them. Because we were able to deal with, confront the reality is how is all this ISIS and ISIL and Hamas and Hezbollah and Fatah and basically radical Islam that's being funded reportedly from Saudi Arabia, which is really weird because those are the folks that we're training, you know, when I was in the Navy, we were training Saudi pilots. We were training them all. And
wow.
But yet that's where Mecca is. Mecca's in Saudi Arabia. But yet isn't that where the President Bush was holding the hand of the leader of Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, prince or king.
The prince or the king, and they're holding hands. And it's like, either way, as the church, we've got to have a biblical perspective, you know, that no matter what men do, that God lets us know what's happening if we stay close and abide with the Lord. Got good news. Good news is Jesus is still on his throne. He is totally in control. What he's looking for is believers that understand that he is in control.
Yeah.
He is. The one thing that moves the Lord is obviously not poverty. It's obviously not bad leadership. It's obviously not the destruction of marriage. It's not, you know, rebellion. This is the one thing, not sickness, not poverty, all these different things. This is what moves God. Faith. Do we believe? Do we believe? And he tells us, you know, in Galatians, and the unction of the Holy Spirit, when Paul's writing out the letter to the church of Galatia, he says, you know, does God do these things amongst you because you obey some law or because you believe? We're believers. We're called believers because we believe. And you can interchange the word faith with belief. It's the same thing. You know, it's surety and certain. Think about this. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure. Faith is being sure, which means right now. Faith is being sure of what you hope for, and hope is a desire. You're desiring something with an expectation of obtaining it. It's not some endless thing that's never going to happen. You're actually hoping for it. So now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. So certainty. One thing about us as Christians, if we're believers, it's time for us to begin to move in more surety and more certainty. The only way the enemy can attack a believer then is to cause confusion in their life and chaos and overwhelming information. And, you know, one day you walked constantly, you know, confident and you were sure and you were bold, but now it's like you've shrunk back.
Mm.
Now you're hiding out. You're thinking about survival techniques versus, hey, because Jesus Christ died on the cross, we've already survived in Jesus Christ because he was raised from the dead. And so it's for us, it's that, you know, he sent us as ambassadors. I mean, think about that. We are the ambassadors of heaven, the kingdom of God. And we're down here supposed to be representing the kingdom of God. And so what good is it if we don't set up and go amongst the people to represent our king? And one way we're known for being sure and confident. Hang around folks that build your confidence. Abide with God that builds your faith. Get around people who, by the way, these are true. These are people who really believe. The people who believe that the chair can hold them are sitting in it. The people that believe they're going to get a paycheck at the end of the week are actually working. The people that believe that their roof's not going to leak in the storm go in their house when it's storming. And believers who truly believe as God's with them, and greater is he that's with them in the world, is actually going out and doing what Jesus said. So a believer is not somebody in theory. There's somebody in fruit. It's action. They're doing. So just because somebody says they're a believer, that's what I'm talking about. Get with people that you watch their life. You're like, look at you. You're a doer of the word. And you're blessed in all you do. I mean, that's an amazing thing to see people that are actually doing what God says. And there's a lot of people talking about it. I mean, think about it. Even the Pharisees were talking about it when they were looking at it right in their right in his face, the word of God. He's like, no, you're missing it, Jesus was saying. Good news. Good news is a movie has came out, and you're going to really enjoy this movie, reports are. And it's a true story. It's called When the Game Stands Tall. And we're really focusing, and this is why it's so important to see it. One is you need some good, clean entertainment to just pause your mind for a little bit. Because so many things are going on. It's good to just kind of shut down for a little bit and just enjoy it. But secondly, this is like a team that won like 150 games straight. 150 games.
12 years.
For 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the bipolar opposite of the Saints.
Wow.
Well, when, yeah, most people.
They lost 150 games straight.
Well, that's anyway, probably true. Right, back in the day.
Right. Some people have posters hanging on their wall. He has a bag. Paper bag.
I do. The eyes cut out.
Eyes cut out.
This ain't across front.
I really like the Saints. And anybody wants to give a jersey, I took a jersey for it. I mean, I need something to. Anyway, so listen.
wear it night.
Yeah, right.
In a day.
This movie. And so yeah, you know, it's gonna. I think it's really gonna encourage you. And I want you to see this particular trailer about the movie. And it's in, you just find out your local listings, you know, on it. You can probably go to VFNTV.com and on the torch and find out more about it as well. But we want to be able to take this media mountain. We want Christians to be over, the ones who love God and love people, to be over these mountains, hiring folks to say, we want to keep this thing in a positive light. And more movies I've seen this year come out that are honoring God, and they're not like, you know, cheesy movies type thing. I mean, they're really, they're putting in all
quality,
the talent and quality.
Way up.
And this looks like one of those movies. As a matter of fact, watch this.
If there's anything anyone wants to say, that was your shot.
We will never experience anything like this again in our lives.
My grandfather waits for me to get back from practice just so I can tell him how we're doing.
I love you guys. We always say to finish strong, right?
De La Salle streak and tradition continue.
Our year.
12 years, 151 games in a row. But we were never just about winning. We were built on families.
Doing it, coach. Get my baby out of Richmond.
And our town coming together.
The longest winning streak in sports history is now over.
But losing the streak tested us all.
Let some punk pull you down at the 2-yard line.
Dad, please.
Don't let a game define who you are. Let the way you live your lives do that.
It's just a high school football game.
Ever since day one, we've been doing what's best for us. You and me getting out of here together.
You heard from me?
People always ask me what it's like to never lose. Today I am lost.
All the things I've taught, I don't know if I'm still doing much good here.
I just want you happy and healthy.
Danny! Call 911!
I got caught up in everything and let it nearly kill me.
Coach, I'm alone.
Family isn't just blood relatives. You've got me and 60 brothers.
1, 2, 3, Spartans!
Coach told us, face your fears.
Meet Buster Matthews, 330 pounds of pure aggression, and you're gonna face him the whole game.
We got lost, caught up in the hype, the glory, and the relentless pressure. That's not who we are. We need to stand back up and find our way again.
You've got to decide what you want to be.
Only way I'm going out of this game is on a stretcher.
You know why they call me Buster?
Because you're stupid enough to let them.
Brothers for life. No matter where we go or what we achieve,
Nothing's ever gonna come close to what we have right here, right now.
When the game stands tall.
This is a true story, and you got to go see. It's playing right now in theaters, and over 150 games straight.
Wow.
Of win. Imagine that. Makes you not want to lose one, right?
Yeah,
no. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear this story. It's a true story. Listen to this report from CBN News. They're interviewing the people that were in the movie.
De La Salle High School owns a high school football record. 12 years without ever losing a game. But you won't find any signs boasting about it at the California Catholic School. And that's the mark of the team's mild-mannered and modest leader, Bob Lattiser, who began coaching the Spartans in 1979.
Coach, when you signed on to teach religious studies at the school and then signed on to be coach, the team had never won a game. What made you say yes to the job?
I was young, and I was 24 at the time, and I thought, I'm going to give this a shot and see what I can do. And I was even trying to seek my own level of competence or what I was meant to do, because I really didn't know. And I thought this might be it. I mean, I felt real comfortable about football. I had a good feel for the game, and I thought, let's give it a shot. And once I got into it, it only took me a year, and I thought, this is what I'm meant to do.
Coach Ladd's perfect 151-game record produced NFL stars like Maurice Jones-Drew, DJ Williams, and TJ Ward. It's a winning record that inspired a book, and now a movie.
Come on, Bob, you turned this team into a winning machine. How long do you think you can keep the streak alive?
The streak was never our goal.
But when the game stands tall begins with game 152, when the winning streak ends and things fall apart for the coach and his team, on and off the field.
Danny! Call 911!
Actor Jim Caviezel plays the coach, a role he admits is tough, with real-life players and Coach Ladd fans watching to see if he nails it.
It's been said of the Coach Ladd role that whoever played that role would have to plunge himself into the toughest year of a complicated man's life. What was the challenge for you in that role?
Normally when you do a script, you have just the foundation of the script that you're working on. This one, there's another one, and that's him. And then who are we gonna get to play Terry? That was a, this is an odd couple, and this is a very, there were a lot of things that could go wrong that didn't go wrong.
Terry Edson is Coach Ladd's animated assistant.
Hey, we don't do that here. Reporters, friends, family, strangers, they're all gonna ask the same thing. What happened? This is a question that's gonna follow you. How did you lose the streak?
Played by actor Michael Chiklis.
I mean, naturally, they want to win the games they play, but really what they want to accomplish is mentoring these boys into young men who can be relied upon.
Break it up!
The De La Salle Spartans story is tougher off the field with real-life player Cameron Colvin. He lost both parents before his sophomore year, and that was only the beginning of his pain. His best friend and teammate is shot and killed just 2 days before they were to leave together for college.
People always ask me what it's like to never lose. Today I am lost.
Sidarius Blaine plays the role of Cameron.
What is it about him you think that allows him to push through hell on earth, essentially?
Support, brotherhood.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, he has the support of 60 brothers on one football team who won't let him fall into despair.
That is the message of the movie, is that I think, you can't do it alone. You need to have the strength to depend on someone. And that's sometimes the hardest thing to do, is to actually ask somebody for help.
This is a football film about a modest man dedicated to raising mighty men.
This film, many people watching it left in tears. What is it about the story you think that has people crying watching a football film?
Because it's about kids, and it's about their lives, and it's about, them navigating through life and learning. And we've been fortunate. We get to see that every year, and we've cried our own tears in real time.
I think redemption always brings a tear.
Ephraim Graham, CBN News, Los Angeles.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
It's not another Lego set or doll. No, what your child wants most from you this holiday season is your time and attention. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. And financial expert Mary Hunt reminds us, it's not about the stuff.
I promise you, when your children reach their adult years, when they remember Christmas, they will not remember the gifts. They will not. They're going to remember whether mom was stressed out or that she was fun to be around. They're going to remember the time that you went and took the sled up the hill and sled together. If you're looking to make Christmas something your kids will remember, think past the gifts. Gifts are involved, but they are such a small, small part of it.
This season, be intentional about your time and money. Make some great memories with your children that they'll treasure forever. You'll find more ideas for your journey as a mom or a dad at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father, and he was, he and my, has, my sisters and I, we got them an iPad, and, you know, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now.
Mother,
yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something, and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to. To hear my mother, we just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time. But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program with their iPad.
Oh wow!
They have an iPad, and they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store and downloaded the application, because we have an application, we have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad, we have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh man, I missed that. You can go that with the app. You could go back and look to the highlights of that day, and possibly the app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sowing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad, and all the moms and dads out there. Listen, you can get VFN TV, the daily radio program, right there on a on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today. You know, there's something about when you first get saved, that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody, because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about
these,
like these books, they got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever. They are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
to let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell
mm-hmm.
and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you where you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm so excited about that and another movie that's coming out called Giver. I think it's out right now. Just want to check it out. You can go to Focus on the Family, and they have a ministry called Plugged In. And if you look at that, they'll tell you you don't have to walk into a movie being unaware of what's going on, because begin to look for quality family programming coming mm-hmm. out, and you could find out, it tells you verbatim what's happening in a movie. Yes, granted, 98% of them you can't see.
Right.
But you could, but you'll just offend you and potentially offend the Lord. But there are great ones, good ones coming out there, really. We want to show our support for them.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be able to throw them a bone and say, yes, even if you don't even go to it, you know, get some tickets and show
give
them this is the kind of program that we want in our nation. It's part of taking back the media mountain, the arts and entertainment mountain. Well, we talked about in an earlier program about Congressman Michelle Bachmann and the Muslim Brotherhood 101 and how that all is a rhythm of movement where one particular man you're going to hear in this interview, and we're pulling this from the VFN Torch. So this is information we have available for you that's been there. We've already talked mm-hmm. about it. We want to bring it up and begin to surface all these things so you know that you know God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And in that, you can get knowledge, and we were not destroyed. We could just figure it out. Thomas Jefferson, I believe, he had the Quran available for Americans. And he's saying, listen, you need to read this so you can understand our adversary who's mm-hmm. fighting against our nation. And one report, and I can't verify this, but one report was, you know, our first war was against radical Islam. And it was, it's where the Marines formed, the whole concept of Marines to be able to go out there because our trading routes were being attacked by radical Islam in wow. that day. And so it's not a unique enemy to any country. It's just continues on. And their goal, I mean, their goal is a Sharia law, a caliphate, where it's governmental. It's not as a Christian, you know, the kingdom of God is within us, and that it doesn't matter which country that we're in or who's the president right. or who's the dictator or whatever. That God's with us. And so wherever we go, the kingdom of God goes. And where two or more are gathered in Jesus' name, he says, there I am in the midst of them. When you look at Muslim Brotherhood and the desire for a caliphate, which is one of their goals, and you got to be able to watch, if you didn't hear in our earlier program, Muslim Brotherhood 101 is 3 minutes. It'll break it down and show you, my goodness, you know, this yeah. is, their goal is a caliphate. Their goal is Sharia.
World domination, if you will. I mean,
yeah, world domination.
Keep taking over.
Yes. And so... And the fact that we've partnered with the Muslim Brotherhood, we've brought them in. The perception of our leadership is that they're not like the others mm-hmm. and that they are different than all the rest. But when you look at the pillars of the Muslim Brotherhood, their pillars of belief, it lines up exactly with what's taken place. And they were upset when, before the Muslim Brotherhood formed, according to this, when Turkey began to go more of a secular way of living and kind of mixing a little bit of a of Islam into just, you know, worldly type living. They begin to minimalize Islam in their classes as they were teaching them, as it talks about. And eventually Turkey kind of happened. Well, now you're looking at Turkey go the opposite direction. Now the president of who just got elected, president-elect, who was there prior to that, maybe as president, I'm here type thing. Anyway, so
another Putin type thing.
Yeah, and so you're looking at this Muslim Brotherhood rise, and how their very first speech of our president, the international speech of our president, who actually said that America is no longer a Christian nation. I mean, this is what he said. He went to Cairo, which is a university in Egypt, where he invited, or somebody invited, the outlawed Muslim Brotherhood, like 8 members of the Muslim Brotherhood. And for some reason, the president,
Hosni Mubarak.
Mubarak was not there. I mean, he's the one that outlawed them. And it's like, we've decided, I mean, this is what it looks like. We've decided this is how things are going to go.
Yeah.
And the president couldn't even show up. And this president is the one that had a covenant and agreement with Israel to be able to protect Israel. Israel gave them back their country.
Yeah.
And then we'll make a covenant with you, you know, agreement, whatever it's called, treaty. And so they're going to replace that.
And they honored it. They honored it. The treaty. It was peace. Yes. Peace on the borders.
Yes. Yes. And so what came of that, a short time later, after that conversation, you know, and we talked about this, when we have the actual speech ready for you right there on the VFN Torch, maybe it's a related article, you can watch it. Our president says, I consider it my duty or my responsibility, something of that nature, as the president of the United States to defend Islam from every negative stereotype. Every negative stereotype of Islam in the world. It's like, well, that could be a personal thing.
Right.
That's cool. I mean, but as the president, the job is to defend the country from enemies foreign and abroad, defend the Constitution, and defend our borders. But it's almost like that kind of trumped it, because now the Muslim Brotherhood is part of our homeland security.
Yeah.
As an advisor, he comments quite often on Twitter, and we have iftar dinners, you know, which is, you know, celebrating a part of the celebration of Islam, and in the White House. And some of the things the Lord has shown us, you know, and this is all we can say prophetically, you know, God reveals to us that there was a deal cut in the White House with the Muslim Brotherhood. And it was in the basement, but it really wasn't, you know how dreams are and things. And then we begin to see all these things unfold after that. And it's like, well, it's kind of pans out that way.
Undercover, underground, if you will, right?
Yeah. And the six pillars, or the five pillars, or beliefs, not pillars, but beliefs, or the vision of Muslim Brotherhood is exactly what ISIS is doing today, is to be a caliphate, to be 100% under the rule of Sharia law. And when you hear the word caliphate, we've said it a million times probably on the air over the years talking about this. And now you're looking at it. This is what America's fighting against. But understand, it started with a speech in Cairo. And out of that, President Morsi got somehow elected president of Egypt, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. And just like the belief of the Muslim Brotherhood, he went straight into saying, you know, pushing Sharia law, pushing the caliphate, and begin to brutalize the citizens of Egypt. These are the reports. To the point where Christians and Egyptians were walking side by side on Pennsylvania Avenue in front of the White House going, President Obama, what are you doing? Why are you putting a terrorist in power? Why did you partner with a terrorist? And that's the same thing you would call ISIS. It's the same thing. And so the Egyptian people just took charge and said, listen, they had pulled that president down, the Muslim Brotherhood president, and they had the general who was over the military, Sisi, I don't know if he got elected or what, I think they came into place and they're having elections. And they wanted to hold on to democracy. Well, this happened when you're looking, look at what we're doing. And I want you to see this. This is a CBN report. This is Michelle Bachmann, and this is coming from August, when last year when we were hearing this. But you got to hear this, because today you're going to see the prime minister. Yeah, he was prime minister. Brown wasn't elected yet. and they're talking about this. But understand the future of this thing that we're prophesying about on VFN TV and VFN radio. Understand that you're going to the same prime minister or this future prime minister is going to be saying, we have no idea. We have no idea how a British citizen sat there and beheaded an American citizen. But as reports are saying that when Foley, the American journalist, was beheaded, the guy has a British accent, but the prime minister of Great Britain saying, we know from that accent what part of our country he comes from. So when we get back to this break, you're going to see this, because we said this early on. This is where things are going, and we need to focus and get back in our libraries of FBI and CIA. Our true enemy is not the American people. It's people who want to destroy America and destroy the Constitution. Back after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham has reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love Him and adore Him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States. Because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom, and the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you, so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're going to go right into this is from VFN TV on August the 9th last year, and you're seeing this is prophecy in advance, and now they're struggling and wrestling with the very thing that we said that was going to come, the Muslim Brotherhood. Watch this.
When Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann and four other GOP House members recently called for an investigation of Muslim Brotherhood infiltration in the U.S. government, they were widely criticized, even by some Republican colleagues. Yet documents captured by the FBI clearly show Muslim Brotherhood activity in the United States. For example, Egypt's new president, Mohamed Morsi, reportedly joined the group while studying at Southern Cal in the late 1970s and early 80s. The Brotherhood's roots in the West, however, begin much earlier.
This is the birthplace of radical Islam in the West. It was here, at the Islamic Center of Munich, that the Muslim Brotherhood first established a presence in the West and spread its tentacles throughout Europe and the United States.
It was the refuge for senior key Brotherhood people. The board of directors was a who's who of radical Islam people from Pakistan, Egypt, Syria, North Africa, and of course Europe.
Ian Johnson, Pulitzer Prize-winning author of A Mosque in Munich, says the U.S. and West Germany initially supported the mosque as a buffer against Soviet communism. It soon became much more than that.
It wasn't a local mosque for local Muslims. It was a political entity that was trying to organize political Islam around the world.
And with the help of money from Saudi Arabia, the Brotherhood moved beyond Munich to begin establishing mosques throughout Europe and America.
People who were key members of the mosque in Munich moved to the United States and helped set up organized Islam there as well.
CBN News recently sat down with two Muslim leaders in Europe who've been linked to the Brotherhood to get their insights on how the group operates. Ibrahim El-Zayat has been closely involved with various Islamist organizations in Germany, while Anas Al-Takridi heads up the Cordoba Foundation in Great Britain. Al-Takridi's father, Osama, is the former leader of the Muslim Brotherhood in Iraq.
You've been close to the Brotherhood movement, meeting with leaders, etc., as you said. How does the Brotherhood operate? Is the Brotherhood monolithic?
This myth of the global network, where there's one hub, possibly in Cairo or elsewhere, sometimes it's claimed, you know, where every single command, every single decision, every single move is orchestrated, is planned. It's not only a myth, it's a fantastical myth. The local Muslim Brotherhood movements in the various countries, they're extremely contextualized. They're very, very local thinking.
In 2008, David Cameron, who went on to become Britain's prime minister, called the Cordoba Foundation a front for the Muslim Brotherhood. Al-Takridi denies the charge.
The Cordoba Foundation isn't a front for the Muslim Brotherhood. We're an independent organization. My links to the Muslim Brotherhood are extremely well known. They're on two fronts. First of all, I'm the son of Osama Al-Takridi. Osama Al-Takridi was, for many, many years, the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Ibrahim El-Zayat has faced similar charges of Brotherhood involvement. In 2005, a German parliamentarian called him a functionary of the Muslim Brotherhood, a claim also leveled by the Egyptian government under Hosni Mubarak. El-Zayat denies the connection, but praises the Brotherhood as an Islamic reform movement.
I think what is special about the Muslim Brotherhood in the end, and it's not only the Muslim Brotherhood, it is what you could describe as a thought that is combining Islam with modern life.
Al-Takridi agreed, telling CBN the Brotherhood's intentions in Egypt and elsewhere are nonviolent and consistent with modern societies.
None of the leading figures of the Muslim Brotherhood has actually come out and said, this is our plan for Egypt to turn into Islam.
Yet that's exactly what happened in May when Egyptian President Morsi told an audience at Cairo University, the Quran is our constitution, the Prophet is our leader, jihad is our path, and death in the name of Allah is our goal. Today we can establish Sharia law because our nation will acquire well-being only with Islam and Sharia. The Muslim Brothers and the Freedom and Justice Party will be the conductors of these goals. Another long-stated goal of the Brotherhood has been the return of the Islamic Caliphate, a union of all Muslim nations under one ruler.
I don't think at all that anybody within the leadership of the Muslim Brotherhood is thinking of caliphate like this.
That wasn't the message, however, at a May rally in Cairo when a Brotherhood cleric introduced Egyptian President Morsi like this.
Satakunu! عاصمة الخلافة ستكون عاصمة الولايات المتحدة العربية هي القدس إن شاء الله.
El-Zayat told CBN News that Islamic nations should seek to gain more influence through the UN and other international bodies. He worked towards that agenda for years as part of the Federation of Islamic Organizations in Europe, widely considered as the Muslim Brotherhood's European lobbying arm. CBN News visited the group's headquarters in a rundown neighborhood of Brussels, only to be told that no one from the organization was there who could talk to us. It's another piece of the Brotherhood's often murky puzzle.
People who are close to the Brotherhood will often say, I'm not a member of the Brotherhood, and technically they're correct, because it's more like an ideological universe. It's a group of people who have similar ideas and thoughts.
Al-Tikriti is one who strives for those goals. He regularly meets with U.S. and European officials, calling on them to embrace the Brotherhood as a counterweight to Al-Qaeda.
I think it's a very, very valid strategy. I think it'll work, and I think it'll be in our best interest.
But Johnson warns that Western governments should steer clear of the Brotherhood.
It's true that not all Muslim Brothers are terrorists, but all terrorists pretty much started by reading the works of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Here in the U.S., the Obama administration seems to have adopted Al-Tikriti's view. It hosted a Muslim Brotherhood delegation from Egypt in April, and Morsi is scheduled for a White House meeting next month with President Obama. Eric Stackelbeck, CBN News, reporting from London, Brussels, and Munich.
So you're looking at that. That is off of VFN TV. You can get to the whole article off of August the 9th of last year. And now you're looking at the very ones who are basically denying, saying it's some benign type organization, not a big deal. It's like, it's a huge deal. Morsi got removed. You saw Morsi being in place there, but Morsi got removed because he started murdering his own folks. He started persecuting Christians. He started carrying people to northern Iraq. The first thing they did was cancel the Israeli ambassador, sent them away, and closed down their ambassador place there. And
embassy
there. And
got rid of the Constitution as well.
Got rid of the Constitution.
And just churches.
Started pushing just like the Muslim Brotherhood desires for it to be. And what's really shocking in all of this is, if that's not shocking enough, understand that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's assistant, and that's what Congressman Michelle Bachmann was talking about. And we have this up for you. We have related articles. You can see it. Her name is Uma, right? And what they normally do, if you get into office, they vet you. You hear the word vet. What that means is they do background checks on you. They find out, is this person a threat to national security? You know, and then they
family members have any ties anywhere? Who are you?
Right, right. But they didn't. And what Michelle Bachmann was saying, Congressman Michelle Bachmann, she was saying, you need to vet her. And others were saying the same thing too. And they attacked her. You know, CARE, the Islamic American Relations Organization, attacked her. And there's nobody, I'm sure she's thinking, where was the church when I was standing up for this? And where was Americans, you know, standing up for this? And all, she wasn't even saying anything against Uma. She was just saying, don't they need to be vet? Because if you have vetted her, you would have found out that she is a daughter of a big leader in the Muslim Brotherhood. And her mother was a big leader as well. I believe he's passed now. But the fact is that that's a direct relationship. Mm-hmm. And so when you saw Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, former, traveling around, talked about how much she traveled.
Most traveled,
I believe, that Uma was with her. When she's on her book tour today, she's wrote a book called Tough Decisions or something like that. Standing right beside her is Uma, the daughter of one of the big leaders in the Muslim Brotherhood. Her husband was running for mayor of New York, and it didn't work out. But that was Secretary of State's assistant's husband running to lead New York City.
Wiener,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Former Congressman Wiener. And that was him standing there when he was apologizing for what he did. That was Uma, his wife, standing beside her. Truly the person of power probably in that relationship. Mm. But I'm just saying that so when you look at CARE, for example, and I don't know a lot about CARE, but I know that it didn't form under President Barack Obama. It didn't form, I believe, under President George Bush. It formed under President Bill Clinton. What you're looking at, from it looks like, this is President Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton's way of thinking. That you think about it, she went straight to from an Asian country when you had Hamas bombing Israel, and goes right to Morsi in Egypt to begin to negotiate a deal. Well, how could she do that? Umar, her assistant, is the daughter of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Now, the people of Egypt were saying, what did you do? You put a terrorist over us. Is this what you think about us? And so the people of, and you can see this on our programs back, but they're saying, we love Americans and we know Americans love us, but your president has put a terrorist over us. We don't understand. And so what you had was, you had Uma had a lot of, there's a reason why she was the backdrop for Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, because that gave her complete access. And you remember that board that he talks about, you know, made of a who's who in regards to the Muslim Brotherhood from Pakistan, from Africa, mm-hmm. from the Middle East, and he's naming all those folks. Mm-hmm. And so she was able to go talk to Morsi, former Muslim Brotherhood, and negotiate a deal on behalf of Israel out of what Hamas was doing. But how does Hamas get funded? Where do they get their money from? Well, Fatah, Hamas,
Saudi Arabia.
But they also say it's literally Hamas is like the distant militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. It's so disconnected. And you can see what they're saying. It's not like some organized club here. It's an idea of people that have the same idea and the same beliefs that operate in this direction. And that's how it could be so loosely having a militant arm called people that are like the Hamas or Fatah. And things that are going on, like even potentially ISIS, mm-hmm. because it's really strange. This is really, really strange. And it potentially was good. I don't know. But there was an elected president in Iraq. But because of all this intensity of these radicals, Hamas, Fatah, Hezbollah, ISIL. I mean, you keep changing the names, mm-hmm. but it's the same thing. That forced that president to step down, and they had somebody waiting in the wings to take his place. There was no election. This is great. It could be, I don't know. But what happened to us believing that you should have an election and that the people should vote and have some say so?
He's been there for 8 years.
Yeah,
for 8 years.
For 8 years. How about us? We could have helped him and worked with him since we actually went over there and tried to, you know, free them, but we didn't. We just pulled back and waited till somebody got in leadership, and everybody's celebrating that. And it's like, to me, that's Zelensky. That's rules for radicals. Pressure was used to be able to force that. And as soon as he stepped down, it was amazing how our leadership said, hey, we'll come help the Christians now on top of the mountain. Mm-hmm. I mean, as soon as that happened. More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
So anyway, we didn't get to finish, John, it's Friday or something, that we were at the fair, and we're walking to the fair, and we decided to get...
Pat, you got to be careful about this.
I can't remember. It was so long ago. You know.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, you remember?
Yeah.
The we got on a zipper ride. All I know is that I just did what John said. Got on the zipper, and a zipper is like it's like a straitjacket made from metal. Yeah, it's like a chair that you're just kind of strapped in, and they close the door, and there's 2 people in there. You know, so John and I are sitting in there, and it goes up and down. Have you ever seen a zipper ride? Maybe we could show you a zipper ride on the blog or something. And John was talking about, you know, be careful. You know, I get sick or something like that. You know, it's real difficult for me to be in movement and motion and stuff, and I don't have my Dramamine. So I forget what it was. I just didn't think that, you know, that could happen. And so here we are. We're on this ride, and he spins us around. The guy flips us around.
Yeah. So the guy's like, do you want to be flipped? I'm like, no, we just want to enjoy the ride.
Flip. Of course, Greg's like, yeah, sure, flip us, spin us around. I'm like, are you kidding me? This thing is going way up, man.
I wanted to get my 25 cents worth. So we're flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping. And I said, and it's fun. And then I looked over at you. And you were sweat beads were coming down your head. And we're locked in this straitjacket of metal. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good. It just dawned on me.
Yeah, that's going to do what, bro?
Yeah, like, you're right.
It's about to happen. I'm like, don't you shake this thing.
Stuff. It dawned on me that you were serious. I think, oh my goodness, he's about to woof his cookie in his straitjacket. And I'm thinking, oh man, of course I quit rocking it. But I'll never forget that look on your face, man. I'm thinking, oh my goodness.
And the rest of the night, remember that?
My goodness, man. I'm thinking,
this could be the moment. This could be the moment.
Oh, I just really believed at that moment when I looked at you, you know, and you were pale face and sweat beads coming down. I'm thinking, it's not going to be good. So I want to encourage you that when you are hearing somebody saying, you know, this could happen or that can happen,
it can
happen. Mm-hmm. I just want to thank God right now. I just want to thank God for retaining all that junk food you eat out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we never did see it. It just wrote an invitation and said, I'd like to come out. You said no. And I'm very thankful for that.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, we're trying to help get some, you know, how do we get here? What's going on? And I want you to hear the president say again, he's beginning to focus on identifying this radical Islam for what it is. It's totally evil. And then we're going to hear from John Brennan when he talks about early on and what's taking place. This is the president from the White House. Watch.
Let's be clear about ISIL. They have rampaged across cities and villages, killing innocent, unarmed civilians in cowardly acts of violence. They abduct women and children and subject them to torture and rape and slavery. They have murdered Muslims, both Sunni and Shia, by the thousands. They target Christians and religious minorities, driving them from their homes, murdering them when they can, for no other reason than they practice a different religion. They declare their ambition to commit genocide against an ancient people. So ISIL speaks for no religion. Their victims are overwhelmingly Muslim, and no faith teaches people to massacre innocents. No just God would stand for what they did yesterday and what they do every single day. ISIL has no ideology of any value to human beings. Their ideology is bankrupt. They may claim out of expediency that they are at war with the United States or the West, but the fact is they terrorize their neighbors and offer them nothing but an endless slavery to their empty vision and the collapse of any definition of civilized behavior. From governments and peoples across the Middle East, there has to be a common effort to extract this cancer so that it does not spread. There has to be a clear rejection of these kind of nihilistic ideologies. One thing we can all agree on is that a group like ISIL has no place in the 21st century.
This totally makes me think about now that he's head of the CIA, John. Tell us.
Well, interesting, the former counterism chief, terrorism
counterterrorism
chief,
yeah,
who is now the CIA director, John Brennan, he said back in the June 29, 2011, this is what he said. He said, I'm not talking about Al-Qaeda's grandiose vision
of global domination through a violent Islamic
caliphate.
Right. Yeah, the vision is absurd, and we're not going to organize our counterterrorism policies against a feckless delusion that is never going to happen. We are not going to elevate these guys and their murderous aspirations to something larger than they are.
So I see why he got promoted from counterterrorism to now he's over the CIA.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. It's happening. The president just said what former counterterrorism John Brennan said is not a reality. He's saying it is a reality. And somebody says, well, it has a different name. Like, think about it. If your name is Bob on Monday and you change your name to Jim on Tuesday, you're still who you are. You just have a different name.
Right.
And when you're talking about Hamas and Fatah and you're talking about Hezbollah, you're talking about ISIS, you're talking about ISIL, you're talking about radical Islam, people who believe in forming a caliphate. And when you talk about the Muslim Brotherhood, they believe that a Sharia law should be enacted. There should be a caliphate. That's what their goal is. Yeah. And the highest achievement in life is dying in the name of Allah, right? Mm-hmm.
That's right. You know, the president now is acknowledging it. Back in January, he gave an interview to the New Yorker magazine in where he called the Islamic State fighters as amateurs. These folks are not amateurs. They're cutting people's heads off.
No, they're not amateur. And they're very well amateurs, but they're very well equipped because when we pulled out of Iraq, I was listening to the former defensive secretary Rumsfeld talk about we should have had some sort of agreement that allowed us to stay there and be able to be who we were there to be able to help them carry this on. But there was no agreement signed between America and Iraq, which would have protected our soldiers if they stayed there and they could have fought for themselves. And but because of that, they totally pulled out. And some people were saying it's because of politics and that you know, wanted to be able to say that, you know, ended the war. But the thing, it hasn't ended. Look at it. But the whole thing is that it left all of our all of the weapons that we gave them, all the money that we gave them, all the stability that we gave them. They came down from Syria. ISIS came down, you know, ISIS, ISIL, all the radical Islamists who are coming jihadists. Down, believe in jihadists that are folk. And jihad is one of their aspects of the Muslim Brotherhood is they got all those weapons from us leaving them there. And the soldiers, the Iraqi soldiers, and this is so true, so many folks, but when they saw that they were going to have to use the weapons to defend Iraq, they just dropped their weapons and left. Mm. They didn't even defend their own countrymen. And when these guys started showing up in pickup trucks, they did not use tanks and use this weaponry that we gave them. And so what happened was the latest radical Islamic group, ISIS, ISIL, Hamas, they came in there and they gathered all those weapons and all those monies, robbed all those banks. I mean, millions of dollars they have. This is the most funded terrorist group now probably in the history of the world, some reports are saying, to the point now they're even in Lebanon. And this is what Pat Robinson just said this week. He said this to 700 Club. He said, mark my word, as soon as Hamas is dealt with, you're going to see Hezbollah come in from the north. And you're going to see what you're going to see. I'm adding this. You're going to see ISIS and others. This whole thing is going to be like Ezekiel 38. It looks like it's coming to pass when all these Arab nations are going to gather against Israel. But it's going to take 7 months to bury the bodies and 7 years to burn the weapons, according to the prophecy, because you cannot come against Israel and live. So I want to encourage you today, if you're listening to us, and we have a lot of listeners and viewers in the Middle East, understand, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. Realize, you know, get on the winning side. The winning side is God's side. It's not your side, my side, or someone's side. It's God's side through his son, Jesus Christ. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. Cry out to God and say, God, show yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me, even in a dream. And if you call out to God, he will come near to you. Find out more at meetmyfather.org.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com
on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.